even the great Napoleon. Our opening scripture this morning was Romans 1:13 through 17. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I've heard someone refer to the book of Romans as the gospel of Paul. I was talking with George this morning about the He said there's five Gospels. The fifth one is Isaiah, and I agree. And I said, well, there's another one too, the Gospel of Paul. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the Gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To everyone that believeth, last week we talked about the whosoever. And I asked, are there any whosoever's here? And everybody raised their hands, because we're all whosoever's, aren't we? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Of course, Paul's gospel, the gospel according to Paul, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, isn't it? In fact, they all are. So you get right down to it, there's really only one gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is speaking of his ongoing desire to visit and to preach to the Romans, to the believers in Rome. Rome was basically the governmental center of the world at that time. Paul had preached the gospel in Athens, considered to be the home of wisdom. Now he wanted to preach the gospel in Rome, which was considered to be the home of power. He believed the wisdom of the gospel was greater than the wisdom of Athens. And he also believed that the power of the gospel was greater than the power of Rome. Rome was really pretty much virgin territory at that time. Paul went into that valley, there's no valley there, there's seven hills, but I'm comparing it with David. David went into the valley with five little pebbles and confronted a giant. I think Paul did pretty much the same thing. He went to Rome, and you know what? Because of the power of the gospel he preached, not because of him, but Rome has changed. Paul said, I am not ashamed. Of course, to be ashamed is to feel shame, isn't it? It's also to be intimidated. Paul said, I am not ashamed. I'm not afraid to declare it. The power of it will enable it. Paul wasn't concerned with the opinions of others, was he? I think that's where we get trapped more than anything else. I look at Peter and I look at his declaration to Jesus Christ on the night before Jesus was crucified. And he said, I'm ready to go to prison and to death for you, with you. And Jesus said, before this night is over, you'll deny three times that you know me. Peter wasn't afraid to go to prison and to death. In fact, if you read in John, it talks about he pulls a sword out and he cut off the high priest's servant's ear. He pulled a sword out. Here comes these troops to arrest Jesus, and Peter pulled the sword out. He wasn't afraid. Until some little servant girl said, "You're one of his believers too, aren't you?" I've always felt that what really got to Peter wasn't his fear of what was going to happen to him. It was his fear of public opinion. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Peter did eventually, of course, go to prison and go to death. He followed Jesus. Jesus told him he would. In fact, he believed it so much that in the book of Acts, it talks about him in a prison cell. And they're planning on cutting his head off the next day. And the angel came to break him out. And basically, he had a hard time waking Peter up. Peter was sleeping that soundly. I don't know. Would I be sleeping soundly if I thought that someone was planning on cutting my head off the next day? But Peter knew. For one thing, Jesus told him that you're going to die the way I died. You're going to be crucified when you are old. And Peter probably thought, I'm not old. And they're not talking about crucifying me, so I'm not going to worry about it. Because the Word of God says it's going to happen differently, so obviously it's not going to happen. And even if it does, Peter knew. Paul did too. Paul wasn't afraid of being thought a fool or a fanatic. His thinking was, what they think of me isn't important. Because after all, it's what God thinks of me, right? In Mark 8:38, Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before the Father. If you deny me before men, I will deny you to the Father. Because when you get right down to it, that's what's really important, isn't it? Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he said, I know in whom I believe. I know in whom I believe. He had confidence. Not in himself, but he had confidence in the power of his message. There's three quick things we're going to cover. I'm going to try to make them quick anyway. Boy, it's getting late, isn't it? I'm glad you guys can't see that clock on the wall up there. It's already 1:30. No, it isn't. Don't lie in church, Wayne. Three things I'm going to talk about a little bit. Number one is what Paul thought was the gospel. Number two is what Paul thought the gospel was. That sounds the same, doesn't it? Actually, it isn't. Number three is how Paul felt about the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:1-8. This is what Paul thought was the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. You know, he says that in 1 Corinthians 11, too. We read that every first Sunday of the month. It's communion. He said, that which I received, I've delivered to you. And that's, we're obligated to do that, aren't we? We're supposed to share what we receive. Anyway, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What did he receive? What did he deliver? That Christ died. Now, that in itself isn't really too earth-shattering, is it? Jesus Christ died. A lot of people have died. Just about almost everybody that's ever lived has died. Well, actually, they all have, haven't they? Except for Enoch and Elijah.
He died.
He died for our sins. He died with a purpose. He died for salvation for us. Because that's the only way that we can be saved. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. It was prophesied. There's over 300 prophecies that came true from Jesus Christ, and there's probably a lot more than that. I think it was Grant Jeffries in his book, Signature of God, talking about the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. And he said the odds of one person fulfilling 48 of those prophecies, and some of them are really pretty exact, like where he was born and to a virgin. The odds against that are pretty strong. But he said that for one person to fulfill 48 of those prophecies, it's the odds are 1 in 147 to the 1 in 10 to the 147th power. That's a lot of zeros. In fact, a lot less than that is basically considered infinite. He goes on to say that the odds of that happening are the equivalent of blindfolding somebody, painting one grain of sand blue, hiding it somewhere in the universe, sending him out to find it, and he finds it. Blindfolded. What's that? Impossible. And that he was buried. Well, that proves he died, doesn't it? There's a lot of there's skeptics that say that, well, he never died. Well, if you read what he went through and you look at it from a medical point of view, he died. He was probably close to death when they put him on the cross. And that he rose again the third day. According to the scripture. Once again, that was prophesied. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. There's also the two on the road to Emmaus. There was also Mary Magdalene. He was seen by over 500 people. Witnesses. How many witnesses are needed to establish something as fact? The Bible says two or three. So what is the gospel? What's that? Good news. That's what it means. Good news. And for most of us, it is. The gospel, here's a summary of it. First thing is, sin is universal. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Doesn't matter if you're a king in a castle or if you're a beggar in a shack. Sin is universal. Sin creates in us a burden of guilt. Some people might deny that. Some people might act like it doesn't. It's there. It's there. Sin causes a fear of a penalty that has to be paid. We know if we've done something wrong, that there's a penalty, isn't there? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We cannot save ourselves. If we could, Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to die on the cross, would he? The night before he was crucified in the garden, he said, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. In other words, if there's any other way that this can be done, do it that way. He knew there wasn't. He said that, and that was recorded for our benefit, so that we could read it, we could look at it, and we could know that there's no other way. We can't, on our own, live righteously. We need help. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What it comes down to is Jesus Christ came to earth, took on flesh, lived a perfect sinless life, and died on a cross in our place, paying the penalty for our sins. He rose from the grave after 3 days and ascended to heaven, showing us that there is more to our existence than the few short years we live here on earth. The older I get, the more I realize just how short this life is. Another candle on my birthday cake and getting closer. But we all are. Number two, what Paul thought the gospel was. What did he think the gospel was? He told us. He said, the power of God unto salvation. God has a purpose, doesn't he? And the purpose that he has for all men is salvation. What kept the gospel alive for over 2,000 years? There's two things. First one, which is the least of it, is historical facts. The second one is the power of God. The historical facts in Acts 5:32, Peter and John were telling the authorities why they should obey God before obeying man. They said, we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. We have the witness of the Holy Spirit, and we also have the facts that are recorded by witnesses. The power of God. In Acts 5:35-39, a man named Gamaliel is talking. He was a leader of one of the schools of the Pharisees. In fact, Paul studied at his feet. And I believe, and many people believe, that he was being groomed to take Gamaliel's place. Anyway, he was a very well thought of person in the Jewish community. This is what he said. He said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourself what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these men rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Well, 2,000 years later, we're still here, aren't we? We got a sign on that door out there that said, under the same management for 2,000 years, God's church. We're still here. Number three, what Paul felt about the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 18 and also 23. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. People that live in darkness, they don't know what the light is, do they? That verse 18, In the New King, I like it in the New King James Version because it kind of reminds us of what happened if we don't read the Bible or if we only read part of it. You know, there's not a lot of experts out there that haven't read the whole Bible that are expert in it, right? But if you read that verse in the New King James Version, if you only read one quarter of it, it says the message of the cross is foolishness. That doesn't sound too good, does it? But the more you read, the better it gets. See, if you read half it, it says the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. Oh, well, that light's starting to shine a little bit, isn't it? The message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to those of us that are saved, it's the power of God. There it is. So read it all. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's a lot of good lessons we can learn from the Bible. But when you get right down to it, that's the main thing, isn't it? I have a pastor friend up in Oregon that used to say the main thing is to make sure the main thing remains the main thing. And I believe that, I don't know, looking around here, I don't see anyone in here that I don't think is a believer. So most of us are believers. But yet, we need to hear this message. We can talk about the Battle of Jericho, or we can talk about Cain and Abel, or we can talk about other things in the Bible. And I do speak an awful lot out of the Old Testament. But yet everything in the Bible is about Jesus Christ, isn't it? Everything. Anytime you read in the Bible, ask yourself, what does this have to do with Jesus? And think about it. And pray about it. And I believe God will reveal to you what it does. What it means. Christ and Christ crucified. Because that is the main thing, isn't it? And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, we can go through the game and you've all seen it and everything. You know, everybody close your eyes, raise your hand if you're, you know, I'm thinking probably, well, he's not gonna make me go forward. Of course I am. If you don't know Jesus Christ and your Savior, I want you to get up out of your seat and I want you to come forward now because your eternal destiny demands it. Don't let your pride, don't let your shame ever keep you from it. And if you come to the realization that you need it, go to a believer. Talk to them about it. I don't want any of you to go to hell. And when we preach the gospel to other people, not just from a pulpit, but out on a street corner, remember, it's not about us, it's about God. We might be fumbling for words, and we might be, but it's the power of God's word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the love that you have for us and the power of your salvation and the power of the gospel, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for you placed it all there in front of us. You made it so simple, Lord, that even a child can understand it and receive it. Lord, speak into our hearts those things that need to be there. Direct us to do what we need to do, to receive you, to serve you, whatever it takes, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you just be with each one of us. Lord, as we go our way, just walk with us and lead us and guide us and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.